ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयो श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ शन्नो मित्रशं वरुणः शन्नो भवत्वर्यमा शन्न इन्द्रो बृहस्पतिः शन्नो विष्णुरुक्रमः नमो ब्रह्मणे नमस्ते वायो त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्मासि त्वामेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्म वदिष्यामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्मामवतु तद्वक्तारमवतु अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारम्। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ
ॐ May Mitra be blissful to us. May Varuna be blissful to us. May Aryama be blissful to us. May Indra and Brihaspati be blissful to us. May Vishnu of long strides be blissful to us. Salutations to Brahman. Salutations to you, O Vayu. You indeed are the visible Brahman. You alone I shall call the direct Brahman. I shall call you righteousness. I shall call you truth. May Brahman protect me. May Brahman protect the teacher. May Brahman protect me. May Brahman protect the teacher. Om. Peace. Peace. Peace be unto all. In our last class, we completed the 8th Anuvaka, which is called Pranava or Omkara Upasana. And with that, one of the best upasanas is complete. Now, meditating on Omkara is marvelous. If meditation doesn't transform our life, if meditation or japa or bhajans or nama sankirtanas do not gradually, slowly, but surely, do not bring any change in our life, both physical as well as mental, then I would say there is a dichotomy, there is a conflict, there is a war. I would not dare to say it is a war, because war is for the people who are conscious, who are with full awareness fighting. But mostly we are ruled by the unconscious. And therefore, this 9th section wants to tell us, first, there should be the foundation of meditation. Why should there be meditation? Because meditation gives us the knowledge that what is life, what is the goal of life, what is the our station in life, where are we just now, and how we should progress in life. In every way, there is a widespread misunderstanding, especially after reading the lives of great saints. And I would say, in a way, excepting few people like Swami Ramdas, the guru of Shivaji, Swami Vivekananda and Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother, they fall into this smaller category. When we study the life of many other saints, then we get this world is tucham, that is completely worthless, valueless. So even if somebody is kicking us, beating us black and blue, just do not care, depend upon God. This is one type of attitude. But the other type of attitude is, so we should not simply keep quiet. And this particular aspect of active spiritual life, taking keen interest in both spiritual life and as well as the our improvement, self-improvement in this world, in the other world, and the welfare of the society. This is the second model, and Hinduism lacked it, and Sister Nivedita, understanding Swami Vivekananda, gave a beautiful name. It is called aggressive Hinduism. The word aggressive may look a little bit harsh. What it means is that we should not allow anybody to take advantage of us, be it in at home, be it in the office, be it in the society, we should not allow. And same thing applies to spiritual life also. You may wonder, how come? Because our what we call blind beliefs, mudhachara, our superstitions, what we call, to which we are terrible slaves. For example, simple example, a person wants to completely kneel down and touch the feet of Swami, sadhus, etc., even though the knees are protesting, the back is protesting, the whole body is protesting. That is mere superstition. You can put God's photo below and you can put yourself above. In case necessary, you can even put your feet on Shivalinga, like Namadeva's guru had done previously. I think you would recollect that story. Namadeva was once ridiculed as an immature spiritual person. He became offended. Then God himself advised him, go and find a guru to become mature. And that's what exactly guru does. Immaturity is made to mature under the nursing care of the teacher. So the Divine Lord, look at this fun. The Lord himself is telling, go and get a guru. And the same thing, Sri Ramakrishna was advising M, that you must soon get a guru after hearing the dream of M. Anyway, Namdeva went to an obscure village and he inquired about this so-called advised guru. And then he went in search of him, and he is to be found in a small Shiva temple. And to his shock, Namdeva found his guru placing his 2 feet on the Shivalinga. And Namdeva could not understand. And so why are you putting, it is sacrilege. You put your feet down. And the guru smiled and said, Baba, I am not capable of moving my legs. Will you hold my legs? And Namdeva angrily removed his would-be guru's feet and threw them aside. And to his greater shock, another Shivalinga had sprung up, supporting the guru's legs. And he tried this way, that way, and Shivalinga was putty. Then guru smiled and said, put my legs where Shiva is not present. Put my legs where Brahman is not present. So you, answer calls of nature, where Mother Earth is not present, where Shiva is not present, where Ramakrishna is not present, Holy Mother is not present, you will be puzzled. Then Namadeva, because he touched the feet of the guru, and he understood that guru's feet are greater than even God. Because what God could not do in Pandharapura, the guru has done by mere touch. That is why we sing Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, etc. Anyway, what is the point? The point is, that is okay, that is one type of attitude, bearing all afflictions, sorrows, and sufferings. But the other is, we also must do tremendous karma yoga. And that is being emphasized in this 9th section. So, you meditate. Without meditation on God, whether on a image, or a photo, or a symbol, or whatever. But if you do not translate all those virtues in your real life, if you do not grow, if you do not become strong, They are completely useless. And that is the speciality of two things are emphasized in this ninth anuvaka. This is called Swadhyaya Pravachana Prashamsa, along with translating both what we understand into social service. This social service, many Western critics, they criticize Hinduism lacks social service. And this section is a living proof. Not only Hindu scriptures understand it very well. And when they're not speaking about social service, it means the person had crossed that level of social service, which is very much necessary to progress in spiritual life. Pure spiritual truths, what Christianity calls the contemplative life, active life and contemplative life. But in this section, it is one has to study the scriptures, one has to study one's own self objectively, and one has to practice social service also. And social service, according to our scriptures, is divided into 5 types of service. And this service is called yajna. So, pancha maha yajna. And we know about that. But in just to, we have to remind ourselves again and again. That is why in this particular ninth section of the Sikshavali, first chapter of the Taittiriya Upanishad, the word Swadhyaya Pravachanecha is repeated 13 times. Not once, but 13 times. And one rishi, he said, of all the virtues, the Swadhyaya and Pravachana is most important. And this section is a most marvelous section. And that's why I decided to spend some time with it. Even though most of the ideas I have been repeating so many times, you also have heard so many times, but it is still worth remembering. So, Swadhyaya Prashamsa. What is it? We must first practice Karma Yoga. That is why, even though the Vedas are divided crystal clearly into 2 parts. First part is preparation. Second part is experimentation. The preparatory part is called Karma. Karma Kanda. We can say Karma Yoga. And the second part is experimentation and growth, which is called Jnana Kanda. And again, I have to remind you, Jnanam is another word, synonymous word, with bhakti, with realization, with spiritual progress. Not the exclusive meaning given by the practitioners of what is called Jnana Marga. Jnanam and Jnana Margam, these are 2 separate issues. Jnana Margam is a particular way of progressing towards God. And even those people, blindly, without realizing, they go on talking about Jnanam. But the whole day, they are immersed only in rituals from early morning till evening. Only the Pravachanam starts in the evening. Meaning that the first part of our life should be spent only in perfecting our instruments, both body and mind. The purpose of Karma Yoga or Karma Kanda is to develop certain qualities like purity of the heart, that is Chitta Shuddhi, and Ekagrata, concentration of the mind, Vaishalyata, expanding our identity with progressively larger and larger holes. And finally, becoming fit people to understand what is called Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. And particularly, in terms of Bhakti Yoga, we don't use the word Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. But what we call is Mantra Diksha is called Shravana. Thereafter, deep prayer, meditation, and that is called Manana. And complete surrender to God is called Sharanagati. and that is called Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam is another word for complete self-surrender. Maybe we put it in different, Aham Brahmasmi, doesn't matter, or Aham Brahmasmi means I am God. But a bhakta would say, I belong to you. Everything belongs to you. Only different words are used, but meaning is the absolutely same. And nobody can progress, whether in secular, much less in spiritual field, without karma. But karma, even animals do. Any living creature does karma. Otherwise, life is impossible. Living is not possible. But the moment we wake up a little and then want to achieve progress towards our goal, then the word yoga comes. So karma yoga is the very first step. And there are three types of karmas. Our scriptures have divided all karmas into three types. So the first, the worst, the lowest type of karmas are called para apakara karmani. Every action that is inimical, that is destructive, that causes pain, loss, suffering to other people, and that is the lowest type of thing. Even animals do not do it if we study them properly. Animals do kill without any second thought, but they do it only what is necessary. They kill what is necessary, they eat what is necessary, and when they are completely full, they can walk along with their prey in different ways. And the prey also knows it. Then there is another type of karmas about ourselves. We are doing karmas indifferently, not paying attention, mechanically, whether we eat food, whether we are doing japa dhyana, whether we are studying the scriptures, listening to talks. Most of the time, the mind becomes very, very restless, indifferent, and that is called an indifferent type of activity. But the third and the highest type, and about all these karmas, the 17th and 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita gives a crystal clear idea. But about karta, about karma, about jnanam, about jnayam, and about food, ahara, practically every aspect, how much enthusiasm we have to bring in to our activity and what type of attitude we should have towards the results. So beautifully described, practically, I think, no religion divides or gives such what is called vastly explanatory notes on every aspect of life, both secular and spiritual. Our purpose is that we want to progress in spiritual life, which automatically includes physical life also. So all the karma yogas are again divided into pancha mahayagna. Just to remind you, so we all start like today's scientist. He doesn't start from a blank, from a zero. He stands on the foundation that is already laid by previous scientists, and he masters all that has been discovered since, let us say, 5,000 years back in any department of life. And then he thinks about it, he should think about it, and find out how to progress still further. So those people who are the propagators of knowledge, which conduces to every being's welfare, they are called rishis. So we are indebted to them. And if we are learning from our parents, they are learning from their parents, etc. This is called Guru Shishya Parampara. So we should be very grateful. We should never forget what we have acquired, or even with regard to the property, our grandfathers and our fathers. Everybody worked very hard. If I am quite rich, then I have to be extraordinarily grateful to them, because every parent wants to endow his or her children with as much as possible. this we see especially among the Hindu parents. So this gratitude, and we are indebted. Another thing also we have to understand. Suppose somebody helped you tremendously, and you should be very grateful. That goes without saying. But along with that gratitude, what help we received must also be transmitted, transferred to somebody else when our turn comes. And then only the society really becomes much better. So, first is we are indebted to rishis. Then, even though it is not an obvious fact that life is going on well and the seasons are well established, and each season nature behaves in a particular way, and in that context we have to be very grateful. Hinduism crystal clearly points out there is somebody invisible, extraordinarily benevolent, and always looking for our welfare, raining, granting waters or rains properly in the right quantities at the right time, and making the crops and fertilize, and abundant food material is given. So we have to be very grateful. This is called Deva Yajna. We have to be grateful, because what we are receiving, we have to acknowledge it gratefully. Otherwise, we are ungrateful people. This is called Deva Yajna. Then, of course, my body, my mind, same thing applies to everybody, is the result of generations of our ancestors. And maybe I have not seen some ancestor who is two or three generations gap, great-grandfather, etc. But they worked very hard. They produced children. They made sure that the children are given as much as they could give. And what I am now is not only to my parents, their parents, etc. So I have to be extraordinarily grateful to them. My body is because of what my parents are, especially my mother. So we must never forget. That is what is called Pitru Yajna. And just a side note, we perform Tarpana, etc., Pindadana, etc., Shraddha Karma, etc. And this is to be done. There is another purpose also, not only to show our gratefulness, but it also publishes what we call a tremendous fact, which is not obvious. Our scriptures never tell our ancestors are dead, non-existent. They are alive. They only went to put on another dress, means another body, and they are very much alive. And if they lived a good life, they will go to higher lokas. So this is to instill that faith. Death is not the end of life, but it is a continuation of life. And every time we do some prayers from Tarpana, etc., to our ancestors, it is to instill that faith. A time will come and I die, but death is only giving up this particular body, not discontinuation of life. And this is so beautifully put in the Bhagavad Gita by Bhagavan himself. So, avyakta adini bhutani vyakta madhyani bharata avyakta nidhananyeva tatraka paridevana. Birth is the unseen becomes seen. Death is the seen goes back from where it has come into the unmanifest. So, from unmanifest to manifestation is called birth. Manifestation back to unmanifestation from where it came, that is called death. And in between, we are able to see. But life is continuous. And until we reach God, there is no putting a stop to this. So, this is where we have to be very grateful for our whole life to our ancestors. Then our rishis also recognized, because this knowledge of Panchamahayagna directly comes from the rishis only. And our rishis also recognized. No man, no creature alone can stand. There must be animals, there must be plants, not only that, there must be what we call the non-living. Nowadays, scientists are recognizing without what we call the mountains and then the forests, especially these two. If we are polluting them, we are only like people spitting into the sky, and then that falls only upon ourselves. That is what we are doing. This is what they call the global climate change. It's all due to our what is called thoughtless actions. Even now we are continuing deforestation, etc., etc. So we have to be grateful to every other human being from morning till evening. Whether I'm drinking a cup of tea or eating a piece of cake or doing any office work, there are many, many people involved without whose help it is not possible. So not only we have to be content with what we are receiving through our hard work, but we have to be grateful to all those unseen helps that we receive, and that is called Nru or Nara Yajna. And also the last one comes Bhuta Yajna. We are grateful not only to human beings, everything non-human, living or non-living. And that is called Bhuta Yajna. And in this particular ninth section, four yajnas are mentioned, not in particularly in that order, but in a separate type of order, but four yajnas are involved. And so we have to be very grateful. But the most important point is, how do we know what is life? How do we know what are the Vedas? How do we know whether we can trust them? How do we know what to do, what not to do in life? This knowledge we can obtain not from what we study from physics, chemistry, but what we call Veda. Veda means, Vid means to know. Veda means that knowledge which is not available for the five sense organs. And without that knowledge, which is beyond the ken of all the five sense organs, life would be, as Sri Ramakrishna puts it, any number of zeros are completely worthless if there is no one. And that one is equated with God. And God means that type of life. In fact, God means my real self. That should be take the first priority. Spiritual life includes all types of improvement. So spiritual life must take priority. And this is the background. And then in this section, having enumerated 12 times first part, Swadhyaya Pravachanaicha, and then the Upanishad in the last three sentences, it as if it is imagining that supposing after enumerating all these virtues or what is called necessary duties incumbent upon each one of the intelligent human beings, what would be, if you are asked, what would be the priority? Which particular virtue will be the priority? And three rishis, as if we have to imagine, were asked. And then one says, Satyam, Satyamiti Rathitaraha. One rishi called Rathitaraha. And then Tapaiti Nako Maudgalyaha. Another rishi called Maudgalya, or another name for him is Naka. He said Tapas, austerity. Then there is another person, and then he says Swadhyaya Pravachana. These are the most important virtues. And last class I have mentioned, Swadhyaya means study of the scriptures is one meaning. Study of one's own self objectively. How much have I really understood? And am I paying attention? And especially we have to take the help of our rishis and munis, etc. And then how much our life is being transformed by what Swami Vivekananda calls practical Vedanta. So that is all the foundation of scriptural knowledge along with pravachana. What we received, we must pass on. And what we receive, not only scriptural knowledge, if we receive riches, we must pass them on. And if we receive knowledge, then spread it on. If we receive any particular type of skill, do not hold copyright over it. Of course, if that is your livelihood, you will do it, but not to the extent that if you know what is Sanjeevani, how to bring, how to cure even the most virulent long-standing disease, but don't hold on, because you get benefit, but then don't keep it only for yourself, because just as you received it from others, you should pass it on also to other people. Sadly, that is why so much marvelous parts of the Vedas have been lost to us because of this extreme selfishness of copywriting, trying to pass it on to one children. Maybe the children pass away before they have the opportunity to pass it on to their disciples. So keep up this, what is called Guru Shishya Sampradaya. Guru Shishya doesn't even mean only a spiritual teacher. No, it can be computer guru, and it could be culinary guru, and it could be guru in any field of life, even pickpocket. Doesn't matter. So, pass it on this knowledge. Swadhyaya means a study and understanding and transforming one's life. And pravachana means whatever you understood, which helped you, pass it on to other people. Help other people, like a mountaineer guide. Here is shortcut. Here are some obstacles. And I will take you to the top as much as possible. So, these Panchamahayagnas, very, very important. That's why I have given you this introduction. And then we must also, along with Panchamahayagna, another part of Karma Yoga is the obtainment of Sadguna Sampatti. What Bhagavan Krishna says in the 16th chapter, even to understand what should be avoided, what should not be done. This is called Nishedha. And what should be done? That is called Vidhi. Both commandments, do this and do not do this. So there are commandments. In every religion, practically, there are commandments are there. And scripture contains these commandments. So not doing is a great quality, what is forbidden. And assiduously trying to obtain what is necessary, never giving it up, that is also part of this Karma Yoga only. This is called, that is why in Chandogya Upanishad, so a sadguna, those gunas which are enumerated in the a Upanishads, a dharma, te mayi santo, te mayi santo. They should be there. That is what is emphasized here in this particular section. So we have to see, first of all, the body is given, mind is given. Who has given? God. Why did he give? Because our body, sariramadhyam, kalu dharma sadhanam. Our body is a temple and our heart is the sanctum sanctorum where Bhagavan resides. So, this is the background with which I will give you further introduction, and then only it will be very easy to understand the actual meanings of the 9th section's mantras. So, Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, and it comes at the end of practically every sentence in this, which of course we will be reading. Swadhyaya means study of the scriptures. So, first of all, you know, Hindus ask, especially in the upper caste, especially in the Brahmins, they must go to a guru, live along with the guru, and living along with the guru for 12 years or so, we have seen, Svetaketu had lived 12 years there, and some people live 8 years, whatever it is. So, observing Brahmacharya Ashrama, and then they will learn. What do they learn? What Swami Vivekananda enumerated, each soul is potentially divine, and the goal is to manifest that divinity, and the way to manifest that divinity, and whatever else we do is not meaningful, really speaking. In 4 sentences, Swami Vivekananda has squeezed the meaning of the entire Vedas. I would say these first 3 sentences of Swami Vivekananda, Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Swaha, Yahrutis. And the 4th one, that is, this is the whole of religion. temples, books, doctrines, all these are secondary details. I can say boldly, it belongs to the fourth Vyahruti called Mahaha. Anyway, it is just a way of comparison. So if study is done properly by a brahmachari, and that must come because proper interpretation of scriptures is extraordinarily necessary. Look at some religions. I don't want to explicitly name them. Some of these most scoundrelish people on earth, they dominate the religion and then misinterpret the scripture, their own scripture. And then even if God doesn't approve, they don't care. So they will brainwash, and then people become aggressive without actually transforming, thinking that they alone are the greatest practitioner of their scriptural teaching. So Dharma Shastra has to be studied, has to be understood. And that understanding comes only through the life of the Guru. That's why Guru Kulavasa is most important. Therefore, when he says Swadhyayam, means one has to first study, especially the Vedas, first part of the Dharma Shastra. Then we understand what is life, what is our true nature, and what should be done, and how should we translate it into day-to-day action, etc. So then, in this very section, there are two particular words are used, Ritam and Satyam. So what is Ritam? In the earlier days of our Vedic propagation, these two words, our rishis have discovered one of the greatest spiritual principles, that is called Ritam. What is the Ritam? The nature of the world. That is why it is called Yatha Shastra Jnanam. Exactly understanding what our Vedas, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, or Prasthana Traya, or the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, or the Abhanga Saptukaram, or whatever Ramana Maharshi's self-knowledge, whatever it is, understand their teachings without distortion. That is the meaning of Ritam. And then Satyam. Satya means put into practice. And it starts with Satya means truth. So first, seek how to be truthful in life. So first step is, what shall I speak? How shall I speak? That is called speaking the truth. But before that quest for truth will not come unless we become good people. That is why the word Sat, first it is goodness, holiness. Second, it is truth-speaking people. And then third is truth-seeking. So goodness, truth-speaking, truth-seeking, and that leads us to real Sat, which is one of the definitions of Sat Chit Brahman, called Sat Chit Ananda. So Satyam. Satyam means putting into practice the knowledge that we gain. Then Tapaha. Life is never one smooth advancement. It is like traveling in mountains. You go up, you go down. Sometimes we are happy, unhappy. Sometimes we enjoy, sometimes we suffer. This is inevitable until we reach that infinity. So tapas means penance and restraints. So what does it mean? It means whatever is in our control, let us try to control it. And for that, Shama, Dama are also mentioned here. But whatever is not possible, prepare yourself not to become befuddled or not to become despairing, not to become depressed, but acquiring that mental equanimity. Let happiness come, let unhappiness come. I will not allow my mind to go up or down. And that is called real tapasya. But for that, certain amount of austerity is mentioned. There are different types of austerities, and they are called Krichram, Chandrayanam, Charity, Dhamaha, Shamaha. All these are all part of tapasya. In fact, unconsciously we do it. In the family life itself or in a monastery, everybody will not be the same. So some people do give us trouble, even if we do not mean it, or sometimes they also don't mean it, but we have to put up with them. If you go on thinking, I did not do anything, but why is the other person doing it? Most often, very unconsciously people do it. Sometimes consciously they do it, and they are called demons. So that is called Asari Sampat. But unconsciously, in this life, Prakruti itself will do it. Life and death, Sukha and Dukkha, cold and heat, these are inevitable. So there must be that forbearance, and that is what Holy Mother says. Sri Ramakrishna particularly makes a pun of it. So there is a word called, the three letters are there, Sa, Sha, and Sha. Sri Ramakrishna, why is the same word? In Bengali it is pronounced practically in the same way. And therefore, why is it three times? The importance of forbear, forbear, forbear. So, that's the whole life is a yajna. And that is what Bhagavan says, convert. And some of the yajnas were beautifully explained in the Bhagavad Gita. But what is called? So, 26 yajnas were prescribed for a householder. Every stage of life is only a prescription actually. So when I come to that, we will expand a little more further. Then you see, when we are living, suddenly what is called guests come. That is, suddenly they may come. In the past life, there is no email or way of communicating. So they have to be received. They have to be relieved of their hunger, thirst, and tiredness, everything. Just as we do in puja, that is padya, argya, achamaniya, snaniya, and then ultimately naivedya. Exactly the same thing. So you welcome them with sweet words, offer some cool drinks, which is called madhuparka. In the ages gone by, it is called madhuparka. Now it is called either tea or coffee, or what is called, some cool drinks have to be given. And then they have to be looked after. Then manushancha and our duties towards other people. These are all mentioned. When we come to the actual mantras, we will be doing it. So we have been, and when we are growing up, we are taking everything from our parents, from other people, from our teachers. But when we grow up, in our turn, we also have to extend the same thing to other people. And in the olden times, especially from the society's point of view, it is our duty to get married. Every religion emphasizes it. And we have to lead an ideal householder's life. And it is our duty, even Sri Ramakrishna says that at least one or two children, we have to see that one or two children are born, then a wife wants to become a mother and we have to oblige her and look after her also. So, three words are used, praja and prajati and prajanana. All these fall under Pitru Yajna only. So, praja, prajaha, prajati. These three fall under Pitru Yajna. Swadhyaya Pravachana falls under Rishi Yajna. And then doing what is called Tarpana, etc., falls under Pitru Yajna. And Manushancha, helping other people in whatever way we can, that is called Nri Yajna or Nara Yajna. Only, as I mentioned, the fifth one called Bhuta Yajna is not properly mentioned. So, but this tapas, we are talking about tapas. So, tapas means this is the greatest instrument for progress in any field of life. A student must do tapasya, what they call in English language, burn the midnight oil. And especially in the Bhrigavalli, we get it, tapasa brahma vijignasasva tapo brahmeti. And then only Bhrigu go satapo tapyata satapas taptva annam brahmeti vyajanat prano brahmeti, etc. He makes progress. So, this is the background with which we will have to go through it. So, just now I have talked about what is called Panchamahayagna, which is part of the Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga expanded is called Panchamahayagna. And as I mentioned, Bhuta Yagna is not mentioned. But this Bhuta Yagna, anyway, you go to any temple, and then there is Gopuja, and then Gaja Puja. An elephant is also worshipped. And in some places, dogs are also worshipped. Have you heard about it? In Varanasi, there is a temple called Kalabhairava. And Kalabhairava is in the form of a dog. That's why they have a black dog. Kala means black. And I have seen that dog and probably two dogs. Anyway, they go there inside and they receive special offerings from Kalabhairava. It is to emphasize that Bhagavan is also manifesting as the animals. Without animals, it is impossible to live in this world. And if we try to live without animals, for example, vast field of agricultures done through what is called tractors and huge machinery nowadays, it is only destroying. It is not natural living, but because of certain societal conditions, so that has become a mechanical life. Life has become mechanic. Therefore, whoever lives a mechanical life will become a machine, and then he eats mechanically, and he loves mechanically, and he suffers mechanically, and he dies also mechanically. Probably a drone might kill him also, a machine kills him also. But that is not true life at all, as understood in the Vedic times. But in this section, Swadhyaya Pravachana, as I said, is repeated 12 times in the first portion, and there was a rishi. He says, forget about all things. Everything follows if we follow this particular Swadhyaya Pravachana. This is the background, and still I have to further expand it. But in this class, I would just like to repeat this Mula Mantra. Vritancha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, Satyancha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, Tapascha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, Damascha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, Shamascha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, Agnayascha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, Agnihotrancha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, Atidhayascha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, Manushancha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, Prajacha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, Prajanascha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, Prajatischa Swadhyaya Pravachanecha. This is the first part. Then three rishis are expressing their individual views of all the virtues. Satyamiti Satyavacha Rathitaraha, Tapaiti Tapo Nityaha Paurasishtihi, Swadhyaya Pravachana Evaiti Nako Maudgalyaha Tadhitapaha Tadhitapaha. In this, the ninth section, the original mantras are given. Just I want to add before we close this one. So, Ritancha Swadhyaya Pravachana, that falls under Rishi Yagna. And then Ritam, Satyam, Tapaha, Damaha, Shamaha, that falls how to the practice in day-to-day life. That also falls under Rishi Yagna only. Then Agnayascha, Agnihotrancha, this falls under what we call a Grihastashrama life. And then Atidhayascha, this falls under, and Manushancha, that falls under what is called Narayagna, Riyagna. Then Praja, Prajanascha, Prajatischa falls under Pitruyagna. So Rishiyagna, Pitruyagna, and then Devayagna, and then Nriyagna. These four are given there. Then, as I mentioned, three rishis emphasizing one particular virtue to the exclusion. They are not saying the other are not necessary. You practice this, others follow automatically. Truthfulness. And that is what Sri Ramakrishna also has said. Anybody in this Kali Yuga practices truthfulness, he is sure to realize God. Satyamiti Satyavacha Rathitara. He himself had practiced it. Satyavacha means one who spoke always truth, never an untruth came from his mouth. And then there was another one called Paurusishtihi, and he was Taponitya. Always he is practicing tremendous austerity, and in his view, tapaha iti, the greatest virtue is tapasya. If you do tapasya, everything else follows. That was his view, because that was what he was practicing. Svadhyaya pravachane eva iti, nako maudgalya. There was another rishi called Maudgalya. Another name for him is Naka. And you study the scriptures and you propagate the scriptures which follow under Rishi Yajna. And this is the greatest tapasya. Tadhi tapaha, tadhi tapaha. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Saritva Pranamami Muhur Muhu.